I want to acknowledge the folks who worked on this, Dr. Linda Remy, who wasn't able to be here today, who has actually been the driving force behind looking at data quality, and then Jennifer Ranks and Ted Clay, who is a master SAS programmer that we use for all of our work. Does it ever get better? Okay, great. Okay, so in 2002, Jeff Gould and Gil Chavez looked at the birth-death cohort file in California in terms of data quality. And what they found was that there was an increase in missing values for those infants who had died, for those infants who had adverse events, and for infants of mothers who were of color. That the implication of that study is that by excluding these records that are incomplete or missing, there will be an underestimate of adverse events, and especially an underestimate in those groups that are at the highest risk. So while you're waiting for it, that's just the opposite thing. Okay. The National Center for Health Statistics looks at data quality when it's generating its health indicator reports and when it receives data from the states. The NCHS calculates percent of missing values for all the birth certificate variables. And if a state falls below 1.5 times the 1998 value median or above 1%, the state gets a report and is required to undergo remedial activity and increase the quality of their birth certificates. One of the big indicators that is used in looking at perinatal outcomes, as some of us know, is the Kotelchek Adequacy of Prenatal Care Utilization Index. And when Kotelchek was developing that index, he noted he uses a lot of variables on the birth certificate, among them gestational age. He noted that there were many missing and unlikely values, so he created an algorithm that he uses to process all of his data before generating the adequacy of prenatal care index. We decided to get that. He makes that available through on the web. You can download the SAS code and pre-process the data that then generates a correction. And the way that works is it uses tables of likely birth weight for gestational age. So if there's no dates, it looks for the birth weight and then estimates gestational age. NCHS also edits data using those tables, but it also uses another element on the birth certificate, which is clinical estimate of gestational age. In California, up until this year, there has not been a clinical estimate of gestational age on the birth certificate. There are some other states that are in that way too, but as we comply with the new recommended birth certificate, the new NCHS model birth certificate, that includes clinical estimate of gestational age, and that can be used in an editing process. We didn't have that. We only had to use the table of likely birth weights for gestational age. So in 2002 through 2004, California didn't meet the NCHS standards on mothers, Hispanic origin, education, and month and year of last menstrual period. The difficulty in California is that there's a statute that governs the production of the birth stat master file, which is the master file that all people use when you ask for birth data from California, you get the birth stat master file. But the law in California requires that the birth stat master file mirror what's on the birth certificate. So no editing is done. So it includes all the unlikely values and all the missing values, and that becomes an issue for every, so that every data analyst in the 61 health jurisdictions in California has to make decisions about how they're going to edit that data and how they're going to generate indicator values, which is a problem. In recognition of this, the Center for Health Statistics in California and the Maternal Child Health Branch began to talk about data quality and what we could do. And there was a big debate about, could we generate another master file? that includes the NCH edits, well, no, it's against the law, or it would take too much money to have two of them, and it would be confusing and whatever. So the Center for Health Statistics then, decided that the way that they would deal with this is through a training program for birth clerks. That basically what they wanted to do was improve the input at the input level and try to get more accurate data rather than editing poor data. The Family Health Outcomes Project was asked to look at the quality of birth certificate data fields before and after the trainings. And the trainings were focused on hospital clerks, the supervisors at the hospitals, some of the nurses in the delivery room, in order to try to improve the quality across the board. One of the things they asked us to do was, when they were developing the curriculum, was to try to make the case with the birth clerks for why that each data field was important. So we began to look at, okay, why do we use this particular field? How is the data interpreted? So we began to look then on the impact on some of the perinatal indicators that were the most important to the local health jurisdictions. So the people would recognize that if they completed the fields correctly, they would be more likely to get more accurate rates for some of them. And we focused on this study on preterm and gestational age. So our objectives for this were to quantify and describe the rates of missing and unlikely values for gestational age between 1989 and 2005, and to quantify the impact of using the Cottle-Chuck algorithm to impute preterm birth rates by comparing the rates with the rates calculated without the editing routine. We generated tables, actually, that we made available for all of the local health jurisdictions for their own county over time compared with the other counties, looking at basically the percent of missing and unlikely values. And this is the kind of table that we generated. Just to make it easy to see, what we saw, and when we looked at the data in California, was there were fairly low rates of missing and inaccurate data in 1992, and the data worsened by 2003. By 2005, maybe coincidentally, we haven't. This is not a presentation on the real evaluation of the training, but by 2005, the rates of missing values began to go down again. Basically, what we found was that the rates of missing and improbable values ranged from a low of 3.7 was 3.7% in 1992 and 6.9 in 2003, which was at its highest point. Of the records with improbable gestational age in 1992, 72% were due to missing data. But by 2004, 92% were due to missing data. So the rates of missing data, not in unlikely and improbable, were the ones that were accounting for the biggest problems. Actually, that was encouraging to us because you could work with birth clerks on missing, but improbable would be much more difficult to remediate because obviously if a medical person entered an incorrect value, then it would be hard for them to follow up on that. After CHS began the training program for selected hospitals, the records with improbable gestational age dropped 64% compared with 2004, and the number of cases with fully missing gestational age dropped 80%. We found a lot of variation among counties. One of the things about California, of course, is there are 61 health jurisdictions. There are a lot of rural areas, and then there's Los Angeles, which has, you know, a third of the population and of the births. So depending upon where the inaccuracies occur, the impact on the state rate and the level of inaccuracy across the state varies. In 1992, the range for improbable gestation among counties was ranged from 0 to 13%. In 2003, before the training, it ranged from 0 to 17.7%. So there was a tremendous range, and that meant that the impact of these missing values and unlikely values really varied by county. And so the remediation really needed to be taken into consideration which counties were most at risk, and in fact, which hospitals had the worst data quality. The other thing that happened was, originally in the 1990s, the poor data quality was in the rural hospital, the small rural hospital. But by 2004, the incorrect values were much worse in the larger hospitals in the larger counties, which had a much bigger impact on the overall state levels of accuracy. So what we did was, in order to really look at this over time, is we generated trend lines, and I should have had another slide here, but I don't. We used Joint Point software, which is a software that's available through NCHS, and they also provide technical assistance in using that. That Joint Point software generates regression lines for data over time, and will give you a slope and an intercept, and also a p-value and standard error around significance of any bends that it sees. And what I can tell you is that all of the bends that you're going to see here, all the differences actually in the differences between lines are significant. This is an overall, the next series of slides kind of looks at different ways of looking at these trends over time. And what you can see is that the rates that were being calculated by the counties and by the state using the observed data, using the StatMaster file without an editing run, were significantly below the rates using the edited file. And at the time when data quality improved in the early 90s, there was very little difference between the indicator rates based on data and whether it was edited or not. But as the data quality got worse, the gap got worse. And in this particular case, you know, there's been a lot of concern about increasing preterm birth rates. And certainly it showed some increased preterm birth rates, but very much underestimated preterm birth rates. And in echoing kind of Dr. Gould's initial observation, we found that the differences in the ethnic subgroups were much greater than the average, and much greater, you'll see, than white. So these are Asian rates. And as you can see, it would be a tremendous underestimate starting in the mid-90s between what you would get if you replaced the values and what you got if you used the first StatMaster file. What you can see in this, we just generated confidence intervals around points, both in 1992 and 2003, and you can see that there is a significant difference between what you, in both cases, in what you would estimate using the edited data and the unedited data. And what's really interesting is, and this is really what we see in 2005, is if you were using the unedited data all along and then you suddenly either improved quality or improved your editing technique, it would look like there was a tremendous increase in preterm birth. And it would be a significant increase in preterm birth. And that's happened in some of the counties now because the data quality is getting better and all of a sudden the rates in some groups are jumping. And so it suggests something that's, it's really misinformation. The same thing occurred for African-American preterm births, you can see. And for Hispanics, somewhat. But much less so in whites. So we basically found the same thing that had been found before, which is these errors are most likely to occur in children of color, and so you would tend to underestimate the disparities. Okay, so basically what we found was data quality for preterm births varies by race, ethnicity, within and across counties, and over time. The shift of poor quality data from smaller to populous counties has an increasing impact on the accuracy of state rates. Data quality issues result in significant underestimates of preterm birth rates and erroneous comparisons with standards such as the Healthy People 2010. Before concluding that population-based rates are changing, it's important to evaluate and understand the impact of data quality. Laws that mandate the use of unedited data impact the accuracy and utility of indicators calculated using those data. And indicator values based on poor quality or unedited data require a remediation and are needed to accurately assess impact of programs, especially, and certainly if you're looking at trends before and after a policy change, it makes a big difference whether you understand whether there's been a change in data quality as well. And racial and ethnic disparities in data may result in underestimates in the level of those disparities over time. So what we've done as a result of this, and I'm doing a presentation tomorrow about this, we actually prepare data spreadsheets and indicator rate tables and trend graphs for all the counties, and we make them available on the web. And with each set of spreadsheets, we actually do have a data quality tab, and it shows that county the rates of missing and unlikely values for them and the possible rate of error that might occur in their interpreting their data.